Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone. This is Steve Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. Today, I have three guests, and we're going to talk about something very near and dear to my heart, and that's a ministry called Christian Life Missions that's been around more than 60 years. It's not that well known, but I work closely with it, and we're going to find out about the very interesting story of how it started and some of the exciting things that it's doing. You're going to want to stay tuned after this message.
As one of America's leading insurers of churches, Guide One Insurance provides your congregation with the industry's finest lineup of coverages and services. By specializing in church insurance for more than 40 years, they are committed to helping you safeguard and protect the people, facilities, and ministries that are important to you. Guide One Insurance, serving you better by knowing you better. To learn more, call 1-800-233-2690 or visit guideone.com. That's guideone.com.
Welcome back and welcome to my guests. I'll introduce you one by one. There are three board members, and the first is Pastor Ron Johnson, who's been my pastor for many years, and Terry Singleton, who is a successful businessman in the insurance industry, who we've worked with the Seminole County Prayer Breakfast, and we might want to mention that later, and then finally Sean Maynard from Gainesville, who is a successful businessman, an entrepreneur, a CEO, and they're all board members. We have about 14 board members, and we meet twice a year to conduct the work of this mission, which is a nonprofit that was started by Robert Walker back when he published Christian Life Magazine, and he would raise money through Christian Life Magazine for various ministries. So let me start with Sean Maynard, and you know a little bit about the history because we just celebrated our 60th anniversary. Why don't you tell my listeners about how it started?
Last year when I became a board member, it was our 60th anniversary, and I was really fascinated by the story that when Robert Walker started this nonprofit, that one of the first ministries that was given to was in South Korea, and some budding ministries and missions happening there, and look at South Korea today. I'm not saying that it was the root cause. I'm just saying it was a catalyst to bring Christianity to a communist nation.
Well, 1956 was, of course, shortly after the Korean War, which devastated Korea, and the North is still devastated because of communism, of course, but there's been a tremendous revival, and there was one there, and I'd heard this story, but I actually went back and dug it out. The original story, and these Christians were so on fire for God that they wouldn't plant their gardens. And some of them were nearly starving because they didn't have money. They were very poor people. So he raised money to support some of the missionaries that weren't affiliated with certain denominations and helping to feed these people and just put a little notice in, said, donate and we'll pass it along. Actually, this predated Christian Life Missions. It wasn't even official nonprofit at the time. So from these humble beginnings, over the years, it's done it again and again and again. And more recently, or I shouldn't say recently, it's been more than 50 years ago, he wrote about Bruce Olson, who is a young man who went to South America and won over entire tribes of pre-Columbian Indians.
Yeah, amazing.
And we still have an affiliation with Bruce Olson, and people are able to send money to Bruce. There are certain individuals in certain churches that just support him year after year after year, and it runs through Christian Life Missions. We call it a pass-through, and we pass through 100% of what comes in and keep our expenses very low.
That's right.
But we don't have occasion to talk about the history very often, so I'm glad you brought it up. And so, Terry, I mentioned that we did the Seminole County Prayer Breakfast, which is on the model of the mayor's prayer breakfast or the governor or even the presidential prayer breakfast. And the budget's, what, maybe $10,000 or $15,000 a year, mostly for a speaker and paying for the food. Well, you can't have a whole organization for something like that. So Christian Life Missions was a neutral place. It wasn't a church, you know, where people might think it was a certain church. And so that's how I first got to know you. And it kind of is self-sustaining. The goal is just kind of break even, but it's actually been successful enough that it's got a little war chest.
It's been going on now for 20 years. It's a place in Seminole County where the people can come out and be overtly Christian in a business context, have elected officials be there, business people be there, and come to a distinctly Christian event with an evangelical message, an altar call at the end usually, and you know, bring people to Christ in a way that doesn't happen in a church setting because many people there wouldn't necessarily accept Christ in that manner in a church setting.
Or they might not go to church to start with.
And you can invite your friends who are not Christians or that you want to be exposed to that, and they'll come to that event in a suit and tie where they would not come to a church event because that would be a religious type event.
And they know that there'll be good music, there'll be a good speaker, and it's an opportunity to present the gospel. And for those who don't live in our area, you might not know Seminole County, but it's one of Florida's smallest counties, just north of Orlando. It's where we live. And there was a time in the late 80s and early 90s when the culture wars seemed to be heating up that some of the conservative groups were actually using Seminole County as a bad example because there were some incidents of maybe where a first grader was reprimanded for drawing a religious picture at Christmas and that type of thing. You know, it was like our county was becoming more and more secular, should I say?
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
The Christian people really didn't have anything that they could work together. And this is, I've gotten to know a lot of people like you that I wouldn't have probably known. And we kind of enjoy it. And we have quite a number of public officials who believe in God. In fact, our sheriff actually was one of our speakers one year.
Sure was.
And gave a wonderful witness of how prayer had been very important in his life. And we've had women, we've had men, we've had Catholics, we've had Protestants, we've had blacks, we've had whites. And so we've been able to sort of illustrate to our community the love of Jesus in a non-judgmental way. And we don't push anything, but we're clearly Christian. And it's interesting that when you're clearly Christian, people will kind of leave you alone. I mean, I'm talking about the sort of anti-Christian people. If you're authentic, I think they kind of sense that. And hopefully we've been able to be authentic. And I just appreciate you so much in what you've contributed over the years in so many ways.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's been a pleasure to be involved in that the last 20 years or so with you and be able to minister to the community. And I agree with you that it's neat to have a distinctly Christian group like that that meets annually. To my knowledge, it's the only group in the county that's a non-church-related group that is distinctly Christian like that that meets every year. And like you said, we have business people, we have politicians, we have school board members, we have sheriffs, and they come in and listen to sports figures, Bobby Bowden, Lou Holtz, Adolph Kors. A number of different people have spoken there that have, I think, made a difference in their lives.
And we also will invite different business people and public officials to pray publicly. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of our school board members got up, and right before she prayed, she said it was so nice to be able to pray in public. And of course, everybody cheered. But, you know, it's not a governmental event. It's not paid by taxpayers. You know, it's just a group of Christians and non-Christians getting together. And every year, we have a number of people who either accept Christ or make a recommitment and reminds people what's really important. So, you know, I hope every community has that. Many communities do. You know, these mayor's prayer breakfasts, of course, exist around the country and have been important to evangelize people because Cal Thomas, who is our first speaker, who's a well-known TV broadcaster and columnist, actually came to Christ through attending an event like this in Washington, D.C., and it was exciting to hear that story.
And ours is a little bit different in that we have chosen as a committee, as you know, to not have a warm-up speaker, a first speaker. We only have the keynote speaker, and we use the rest of the time at the event, the majority of it at least, to actually have people come up and pray for the entire group. We have the government representative come up and pray for business and for the community. And so it's a prayer breakfast where people actually sit and pray.
Funny how that works.
Neat, huh? Shocking.
I've been to prayer breakfast. In fact,
as have I, yeah.
You know, I don't know how germane this is, but I've started to mention it, that in the early 90s, when George H.W. Bush was president, he invited a group of evangelical leaders to breakfast at the White House on the National Day of Prayer. And I had the privilege of being invited. And they said some nice things about prayer, about how Abraham Lincoln prayed and so forth. But I think that other than maybe saying grace over the meal, there was no prayer at all that day.
Just breakfast.
Just breakfast. And, you know, it was President Bush's way to try to acknowledge that prayer was important, I guess, and we appreciated him doing it. But your comment made me think of that little anecdote.
It's neat to have a prayer breakfast where people actually sit and pray, yes.
Now, Pastor Ron Johnson, who has been involved in missions for many, many years, in fact, even served as a missionary, made many missions trips.
Yes.
You were a missionary to Great Britain for several years.
Actually based in Great Britain.
And going into Europe and especially the Eastern Bloc. And over the years, in various ways, we've worked on missions together.
That's right. For many years. Many years we've worked on missions.
And so
together.
I know you have a real heart for missions. Your church raises a lot of money for missionaries. In fact, I've had missionaries tell me that your church supported them more than any other single donor. And usually churches give them $10 or $15 a month. And your church would give them, you know, several hundred or even more than that sometimes.
Which we've always been very blessed to be able to do that, honestly. You know, one of the things, and you know, you were referring to Christian Life Missions, and I think one of the things that really stands out for me is to be able to provide some sort of a platform or support for people who otherwise may not be known. You referred to Bruce Olson earlier. What a tremendous ministry. I remember when his book, Bruchico, came out, telling the story. And without those opportunities, many ministries would go relatively unknown or unheard of, yet are all doing wonderful works. And I think that's one of the things that Christian Life Missions has the privilege to be able to do, is to stand with people that otherwise might be unheard of, and to provide some level of platform for them to be known and their ministry to be appreciated by a host of others.
And also to use the platform that the Lord has given us to allow people to respond. And they seem to respond more when there's disasters. So, for example, one of our biggest fundraisers we ever did was when the tsunami hit, and we worked with churches in Sri Lanka, and were able to channel money, you know, rather than trying to send a little bit a bunch of places and you really don't know what happened.
Yeah.
We also raised money for 9/11. Remember that?
Yeah.
How everybody, there was such an outpouring, and we were able to work with ministries that we knew to really meet the need where it is. And we've tried to do that over the years through our magazines and now, of course, online and lots of other ways, and even through things like podcasts. And so this podcast will go out. I'll do some kind of newsletter with it, and we'll probably put it on our website. And there's so many things that we could talk about Christian Life Missions. We've got to kind of wrap this up. But I appreciate the three of you just sharing, and I appreciate your willingness to serve on the board of directors. And I'll just say to my listeners that if you don't know about Christian Life Missions, you can go on to ChristianLifeMissions.org and find out about the different ministries that we support. You can donate with PayPal or a credit card or the old-fashioned way with a check in the mail. And we're just trying to do what we can. It's not a big ministry, but it's been faithful over the years. Long before I was involved. And then I've been involved, of course, for the last couple of decades. But this is bigger than just me, and of course, it's bigger than just Charisma Magazine. And it touches a lot of people, and we've had a lot of generous donations over the years, and it's just an honor to be able to serve. So I'll give each of you an opportunity to say a last word if you like.
Yeah, I just want to mention in particular the Give Away the Word and what you're doing of giving away the word in prisons. And as a person that is operating in prison ministry, I can share with you that it's vital that these guys get in their hands a word of God. And it's such a necessary and vital ministry. So I encourage people to go to ChristianLifeMissions.org and go to Give Away the Word and donate.
Well, thank you for that.
And it's most of my privilege to be part of the board and be involved in the ministry. As you had said earlier, the one of the things that's unique about this ministry is that it does pass through 100% of the donations that come in to the cause or to the ministry that is benefiting from that. Most every other group that I've ever seen, you know, takes some kind of a haircut off that number for their admin costs, but Christian Life Missions does not. They pass through the entire amount. I think that's just a remarkable way to bless the ministries and the causes.
Yeah, I'd certainly like to reinforce that as well, Terry, because having served on a number of boards, I have witnessed that firsthand, that there is sometimes a more substantial percentage than we would like to even admit. But here we've got 100% of the resources that come in for both ministries and projects goes out to its intended purpose. And for those of you who are listening, perhaps you're looking for a place where you can give and realize the full impact of every dollar that you give. And I would just like to suggest that Christian Life Missions is an excellent place for you to sow your missions dollars or project dollars towards particular causes.
Well, well said, and thank you to each of you, to Pastor Ron Johnson, to Terry Singleton and to Sean Maynard for being my guest on my podcast today. And thank you to my listeners for listening to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Steve Strang.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.